Testing. Good morning. First of all, we'd like to welcome the multitudes. And
we're a pro.
Anyway, this is the continuation of the hearings that were held Monday evening, the Alaska Native Review Commission, which has been set forth through the Inuit Circumpolar Conference to take testimony on the Land Claim Settlement Act and the issues that are involved and have crept up with the act since its passage in 1971. And this is the second set of hearings here in Kotzebue. The first time the Berger Commission has been to the Nana region, and we again like to welcome Tom, his wife, and Mary, and even Jim. And I think without any further ado, if there's people out there listening, in especially in Kotzebue, if you feel that you have something that you'd like to say in regards to the Land Claims Act or anything relating to it, feel free to come up to the old school gym today and make yourself heard. And the other thing is that there will be a hearing also tonight at the Senior Center at 6 p.m. And with that having been said, I'll turn this over to Tom Berger.
Thank you, Reggie. Well, I'm glad to see you here this morning, and as you know, we're here to listen to what you have to say about ANCSA, the corporation's 1991, the question whether or not people should be allowed to sell their shares in 1991, the question whether or not the new natives, the children born since 1971 who didn't receive shares, should participate in the settlement in one way or another. We're also, wherever we go, we find that people want to talk about subsistence and sovereignty as well. So if you want to refer to any of these things, please feel free to do so. If you wouldn't mind coming forward to this chair here with the microphone, that will make it easier for us to record what you have to say, and it will be taken down in tape, and a permanent record of all that is being said at these hearings is being preserved. The commission has been traveling throughout Alaska now since February. We've been to 43 villages and towns, and we've heard from more than 800 Alaska Native people who've spoken at these hearings, and we're very pleased that there has been such interest. Everything that they say is down on tape and typed up, and a transcript is made, and those transcripts are now available, and we send them back to the corporations and the IRAs and the Native organizations in each village and town so that they will have a permanent record of all that has been said at the hearing. I'll be writing a report about this next year. It'll become public in the summer of 1985, and I'll be sending it to everybody who's testified, and that, I think, means that we'll be sending a copy to you. And if you could give us your name and...
I'm Suzanne Evans. I'm 17 years old. I'm a
junior in Cotsby High School, and I've lived around Cotsby all my life, and I think that us Alaska Natives should not sell our shareholders. It belongs to us, and we own it, and we need it, and it's ours. It was given to us, and I'm pretty proud to be an Eskimo and live in Kotzebue. I've got a job, and I work at OTZ, Telephone Corporation.
Let me ask you a question, Susan. Do you have any brothers and sisters who were born after 1971 who don't have shares?
They were born before 1971.
But do you know any children born after 1971 who don't have shares?
Yes.
Have you thought about whether they should have the right to participate? Should they get shares, or should something be done for them?
Well, if they're Eskimo, I think they deserve something.
Mm-hmm. Anything else? Did I interrupt you?
No.
Thanks very much.
I'm Bertha Stocker Lowe Jennings. As I was raised at Noatak, we were sent out of the village from Mount Edgecombe High School. And since 1957, until I graduated in 61, I was home for the summers. Then I went on 3.5 years at Kansas, a year at Colorado, and 3 more years, and 4 years as a graduate student. There are various kinds of implications that I have experienced, because first, the requirement of having to leave the region for an education. The second part of it is how that relates to your land holdings. Many of the Alaska Native families who live in this region have children that they have sent out. I'm one of the students who did not get any kind of land settlement, either through the Native allotment, and many times when you get into either Kotzebue or into the village, they feel that you have to own land before you could get financing for a home. I once approached a bank to get a $15,000 loan to help complete my father's home. It was just sitting on the tundra and needed foundation, needed the furnace and water and sewer lines hooked up and electrical wiring. I was told that, not being a resident, that I wasn't qualified because I haven't been here long enough. So that loan was turned down. I have also gone through the escapade of not having a place to live, and places closed for rental. Many times they give you less than 30 days notice for a place to live. So as a professional working here in the region, I have a problem of living here and working because I don't have a place to live. I have a problem acquiring land or my own home because of problems of collateral or financial backup. And there are many of us that are in this situation. We used to have a historical site that was set aside for people from the villages where they at least had tents to live on. Nowadays, unless you have a job and could pay rent, we have many homeless residents here at Kotzebue, which is the regional pub for the region. And we have services that go into the villages out of Kotzebue, whether it's transportation, education, government, or communications. As an Otisclope Regional Corporation shareholder, I went with my ancestors and enrolled with Point Hope Village Corporation. And while my father lives here, although I had inherited shares from my mother, from both NANA and KIC, I feel that I should be close to my family here. And there, these I think, is what we refer to as being shuffled from the old world and the new world, where in the old world, you always knew where you would rest your head, and you would find a place that was home, whether it was at the camps or whether it was here at Kotzebue, with the values of identifying as a family and sharing. And today, it seems that education and jobs are not enough. I do not feel that I have a future at Kotzebue. Number one, I don't have land holdings. I don't have a home. And I know of a lot of people who are in that situation. There is another area that this brings up as far as going in and out of the region for educational purposes or for other reasons. I own some property down at Anchor Point. It's 7 miles out of Homer, 4 miles out of Anchor Point. We would go there as I had a job in Anchorage and I was a graduate student with Union Graduate School. Having left that area, although I have property, something that we purchased and invested into, that land that is down in the Kenai Peninsula doesn't benefit me. What we have is a 12.5-acre parcel, which is adjacent to the Anchor River Wayside Park, that is vandalized. People sometimes maliciously break through the window and ruin what furnishings we have in the place. That includes the people taking out the wood stoves, wrecking things up. I often have gone to the state who oversees the Anchor River Wayside Park, and they felt that if I chose to hold property adjacent to a park, my responsibility was to oversee my belongings and my land holdings. Well, at this time, I don't see any recourse as far as holding on to Anchor Point, except perhaps to sell it or to lease it. There is one other option as far as being a shareholder and identifying with two corporations, Otisclope Regional Corporation and the NANA Regional Corporation. I know what it's like as a land owner. on property that is taxed on at Kenai Peninsula. For 12 and a half acres, on a yearly basis, I'm presently in a situation where I pay taxes. There are times when it's difficult to meet the payments so that the land would continue to be under my name with clear title. I know what it's like at this time of what we are facing in the future as far as taxation versus non-taxable lands. Our forefathers who were here lived off the land and helped preserve the land. We who want to follow the legacy of what we had inherited have no means at this time to continue to do that. We either are outcasts within the system that was incorporated here, many times being dominated by outside people, agencies, or organizations, and many times that being the form of the government intruding on our rights. If we go back three generations or four generations, you will find that many of the Native people in Alaska were very stable. You didn't find a lot of homes going through turmoil, although they had already predicted that these changes would happen. They didn't have such high statistics as suicide or family breakdowns or communication was not as much of a problem, at least within our families. Today we have the radio, we have the media coverage, whether it's on satellite TV or through newspapers. But it seems that we have more problems of communicating today than we did four generations ago, at least within our immediate family and within our extended family. We have the means of communicating now, and yet we have high rate of suicide, we have high rate of family breakdown, high rates of outside influenced data, whether it's student dropout, whether it's nutritional services. Okay, let's just take, for instance, the nutritional program that we have at the Kotzebue Senior Citizens Cultural Center. Let's just use that as an example. Traditionally, even at the recent statewide elders conference, when the elders spoke about Native values on land, they say that our stomachs don't change. We are used to eating Native foods, foods that we get off the land. And here, and many times, our elders are institutionalized, taken away from their natural setting and their environment, and introduced to alien foods. And this sometimes happens also to our orphans, our children taken away from our homes, or for other situations, like my case, where I had to leave for Mount Edgecombe and for Kansas and Colorado. So in many situations, they feel whatever food is being offered in restaurants are inadequate, because historically, the Native food being our diet, we have had access to a lot of meat, a lot of birds, a lot of fish. You cannot equate that to what you find at the shelves of a grocery store. there are also what you call the nutritionists saying that we lack, many times young women, expectant mothers are anemic. Or they find that we have poor teeth and we have poor health because of our diet. But how do you correct this? That within our society, we are intruded upon not only by our food source, but also by regulations telling us when we should hunt, what we could hunt, and how we could hunt. I feel that with our land, if we are to exercise our sovereignty, number one, there's a projection that by 1990, the population in the state of Alaska will triple. And the question I have will be, what about the Inupiaq? We're talking of 11,000 people, Unalakleet, north of Barter Island. Where do they go when outside people intrude upon our land and our culture and our language? What happens to us? If we are already facing the situation today in 1984, where are we going by 1990? What rights can we be given to exercise to protect our land, to help our children to survive, also to make sure that we continue living off the land and eating the foods that we are accustomed to? This concept of Alaska has room for everybody isn't quite what is told to you. Number one, I've been to several villages where it costs a lot to buy gas just so you could go out with a boat and either hunt for moose, caribou, or keep up with the fishing so that you have food stored away for the winter. In this one situation, I visited the family. They were too young to have longevity bonus benefits that are given by the state. They did not apply for Social Security benefits. Were not receiving food stamps or any kind of general assistance. And as Inupiaq, we have the right to live off the land, but who help subsidize for their oil and for their health and for their food when they are at these camps? Because they are healthy hunters and fishermen, do we tax them and say, no, you have no right to hunt and fish off your, at your camps, off your land, because you, first of all, by outside rules and by outside standards, you got to go there by boat, you need gas, you can't survive a week without coffee. I mean, traditionally we had survived just by native foods and without need of gas or oil. We have a lot of things to think about as far as solving what we are facing, not only for our present needy families and misplaced families, but also for 1991, where there are multitudes of planning that has to be corrected so that the people are indeed involved, that communication takes place. Many times it seems that we promise information to go out to the people, but who helps make sure that it gets out? and that this information is distributed. So we have double messages. First of all, people saying, okay, because we have native leadership, which historically was not true since we became a territory. So we have to talk a lot and make sure our information gets out and with enough lead time so that the solution and the process that takes place will involve the people who are affected. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Jennings.
I have a written statement. First, I would like to commend you, Judge Berger, and your team for taking on this job for ICC, for our family and for our people. I am Karen McClellan, a half-breed native, born and raised here in Kotzebue. Last year, I attended a college student workshop at Sivanilvik, and at that time, a group of concerned students decided to form a committee, a 1991 committee, as we call ourselves, with our main goal being to gather information about the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act in 1991 in order to educate ourselves as well as others about these issues. As an incorporator of this committee, I have gathered some information which is stored at Manilik Manpower and is available for review by college and high school students and other interested persons. Come 1991, we will all be affected by ANCSA, be it negative or positive. I feel that there will be fluctuations in values, beliefs, and morals because of changes that will occur at this time. Social, political, and economic changes will be major, and they may or may not cause an amazing upheaval amongst our people as a race. Because of the 20-year deadline, I dread the numbers 1991 and what that year may represent. Nevertheless, today I sense that one important factor is being set aside by so many, and that is education. Although our school district has taken a step to educate our high school students on ANCSA, and I'd like to express at this time my gratitude to Paul Ongtaguk for doing such a fine job of it, and although our Chukchi Community College provides a course on ANCSA, I still see a lack of education amongst our elders, my peer group, and many others. For example, I was employed to do the ANCSA 1985 study survey in Kotzebue and interviewed individuals of various age groups and was shocked when I realized how little our community knew about ANCSA. This is one reason why I feel that it is imperative that we all take a step to educate ourselves on the issues at hand. Ignorance will only be damaging to us in the long run. It is particularly important that my generation and younger generations take part, because I often hear from our elders or our leaders that they expect us to follow after their footsteps, and we will most likely be the decision makers come 1991 and following it. Things such as communication gaps, lack of participation, selfishness, and ignorance do not benefit you when you later realize what you are missing out on. Now, on the topic of descendants of shareholders, I want to point out that I am a mother with a dependent at the age of 7.5. I feel he is a driving force behind me that urged me to educate myself on ANCSA. My son, according to AFN and or those who put together these words, is considered a quote-unquote new native. He, like many others, cannot obtain shares other than by them being willed to him. Unless I die, which I hope to be a long while after 1991, Logan cannot take part in corporation events, vote, or gain a portion of the profits earned by our corporations via dividend checks. This new native segregation, as I call it, amongst our own people may cause factions in villages in the future unless something is done now to ensure that they will have the same rights as we are allowed. When I mention that I foresee an upheaval amongst our race, I see it as taking place especially among these quote-unquote new natives. And because of the decision to exclude our descendants in an act passed 13 years ago, I despise individuals involved in its passage and the United States government for being so naive in this particular area, for not predicting what implications this would impose on our race. At this time, I would like to sokotak or scold those people who speak against our village and regional corporations. It is unfortunate that you take situations like these to speak negatively on actions that they have made when the most appropriate time to do it is at board meetings. It infuriates me even more that our corporations have to lure you to meetings in the first place by providing door prizes, when it is your responsibility to yourself as a shareholder to vote for those people that you want to make decisions for you. Please keep in mind that at least our leaders are natives and of our bloodline, born and raised here, understand us and our ways, and that they are doing their best possible jobs under the circumstances. We need to use constructive criticism at the appropriate time and place. If we don't, we can't expect them to use ESP to figure out what we want and need. Corporations are tools for us to use, and they are here to serve us as well as themselves. In conclusion, I just want to urge all our community members to gain an education through as many avenues available, including this one. Thank you, Honorable Judge Berger.
Thank you very much. Can we keep that? Thank you, Ms. McLennan. McClellan.
My name is Mildred Sage. I live in Kivalin, Alaska. I represent elders from Kivalin. Bear with me if I make mistakes in my language. I mean, speaking English. I like to bring out some things that we talked about at home before I come. We as Native elders would like to see rules and bylaws of Western style be approached to us in some ways before they're adopted by lawmakers, because even though we're old like this, we want to keep on keep up with the lifestyle. And another thing, we as elders want to belong to our land, and we want the land to belong to us. Another thing, we as elders want to live without land or property being taxed to us. Elders now who are living at this age are being taxed. Wait. And our fathers and our forefathers before we, they lived without fear of being taxed. Almost all of elders are without jobs, and many of them disabled. We live on SSA bonuses and SSI and so on. Many elders are denied who should be eligible for SSI because the rules and laws are made for Western lifestyle. And from these checks we get, we pay tax and use the money that we're supposed to be meant for our lifestyle. And we as elders want to see our children and grandchildren get their rights as Native people of Alaska. As example, people with 7 to 13 children born to shareholders after 1971. Um, what is allowed to us, 160 acres, dividing it to 13 children and their grandchildren, will be like giving them at one time mouthful of food they want, and nothing after that. We as elders want to see our children, who were too young and born after 1971, to get their land rights. We want and request that they be given their rights to their own native land. Looking ahead, we see our children and our grandchildren have nothing to pass on to their children because the family status will grow in numbers and the land will get smaller and smaller for them to pass on to their children and grandchildren. We as elders feel that there should be some way to plan now and protect our land, stocks and shares, some way to preserve them and let them stay on the native site. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. And our thanks to you for coming from Kivalina and to those for whom you speak.
Good morning. My name is Skeeter Jepson, and I'm a shareholder of KIC and NANA. And I'll just make my comments very briefly. In relationship to the land, my parents were very nomadic when they moved here from Deering in 1955. They did not camp in one area. They just went camping where the game was, where the fish was, where the birds were. The provision in ANGSCA says that you need to be in one area for 5 consecutive years to apply for a native allotment. They may have gone to this one area every other year, but not in a row. So they did not sign up for native allotments. Because of that provision, I feel like I did not have a chance to apply because of that. And I'd love to have my own allotment. I'd love to have my own piece of land for my kids to enjoy when they get older. We need to understand exactly more what exactly does 14C mean. You know, we always talk about this maybe once a year at our NANA regional things, but I think the public needs to be and the shareholders need to understand more. What exactly does those 100 shares mean to you? What do they stand for? Does it stand for the land? Does it stand for a dividend every year? Does it stand for the businesses that the different corporations get into? I have 2 children that were born after December 8, 1971. They do not have shares. That is not right. They are still native. They are the future. I have made my will for them to receive, the 2 younger ones, to receive my shares. Half are to be divided equally. Also included in my will is the stipulation that they are not to be sold. If they want to sell their shares, they are to be sold back to the corporation. When I made my will, the lawyer told me that I cannot put that in there because of legal implications. And I said, those are my shares, and this is how I want to have them to be, if I die, how I want them to be divided. And I also said in there that I do not want them sold. That is because that is their legacy. This is their future. I would like to recommend to AFN and the regional corporations to set up a program for people to write, help people understand the importance of wills and how it relates to our shares. On AFN resolution number 2, that deals with the words stock alienation. I asked the panel there at AFN, what does stock alienation mean? And the guy that answered it really did not say it in layman's term to where we can understand. What does stock alienation mean? It means, to me anyway, it means that I cannot sell my stock to a non-native, or how can non-natives get our stock and try and own stock? In other words, it's supposed to be kept within the regional corporations, and if you're native, you get to have it. But I still don't understand those words. There's a lot of things within ANGSCA that the people still do not understand, and it was passed in 1971, and that's not right. The people need to understand exactly what ANGSCA stands for, and it needs to be in layman's term. In other words, stock alienation. It could be said another way, to where people that haven't had a good education or even, you know, don't understand that, they still need to understand that. My mother died not too long ago, and she did not leave a will. And we divided the stock equally amongst about 8 of us. And if she had known that her stock was going to be divided that way, I know she would have done it a lot different. But then again, she did not understand the importance of a will. The stockholders need to understand, and they need not be scared to say their 2 cents worth about any changes or what is happening within their corporations. Ask questions. Every village supposedly has a person from their village on the board of directors. The people should understand that that board of director is answerable to them. In relationship to education, I'd love to see the ANGSCA more understood by the children that are going to inherit our stock. And I thank you very much for listening to me, and I wish you all the luck in the world. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Thank you.
My name is Walter Sampson. I just want to make two quick comments just to get the record straight here. The Native Allotment Act of 1906 is a completely separate act from the Alaska Native Claim Settlement Act. I think that's what you were referring to. The 14C program under the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act, we are just starting with our first village. Now, as far as the 14C program go, especially with the villages that have the town sites, and with all the litigations that are being pending, we really cannot move forward as fast as we want, but we're trying our best to proceed with the 14C program. Now, under the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act, again, 14C is the section where it states that we have to reconvey, or I'll take it back, when the regional corporation receives title to the land that it had selected, we must then transfer that land to the village corporation. Then the village corporation in turn has to reconvey land to those individuals under 14C1, the campsites for residents who were living as of December 18 of 1971. Now, if I continue to go into it, it's going to take whole morning. Now, I've been working for the regional corporation for about 10 years, and I still haven't fully understand the whole act. And I don't know if Berger here can tell you that there's a lawyer in the United States that fully understand the whole thing. So with those comments, thank you.
Can I just ask a question, Mr. Sampson? under 14C3, up to 1,280 acres is to be conveyed by the village corporation to the state chartered municipality, if there is one. Have there been any conveyances under 14C3 in the Nana region?
No, we haven't had any reconveyances to under 14C3. Now, if you remember, the original act stated that without question that the regional corporation would, or the village corporation would, reconvey 1,208 acres to the municipality for expansion purposes. Now, under the amendment, there was a word changing to where it reads that if the village corporation and the municipality agrees in writing that the municipality can receive up to 1,280 acres. So, like I said, our 14C program, we're just starting with our first village, and with all the litigation problems with all the town site lands, we really can't proceed fast as we'd like.
Yeah, thanks very much.
Thank you.
I'm Reggie Jewell. I'm a shareholder of Nana Regional Corporation and the Village Corporation, Kikiktagalkanupik Corporation. And I think there's a few things I'd like to address. One is, you know, in terms of some of the social activities and the social problems that we've been hearing partially at this testimony, but we hear of a lot throughout. I'd like to say that for many years we have become and are to a great degree dependent on a system. It has come to a point where I think, and speaking for myself, that we need to be dependent on ourselves and on each other as family, extended family, and community. There is no one that really understands what it's like to be in a position that we are in as Inupiaqs, as ourselves. And having to constantly live with some of these things, there's no amount of money that is going to help us solve some of our problems unless we want to do it ourselves first. But just from my perspective, it's something that has to start with the person, each individual, And it's got to move within the family structure and then out into the community. And then I think we can be a positive force for anything to happen, because it is with that kind of nucleus that have allowed our ancestors before us to survive so that we can be alive today. And it kind of branches out into different things. I just briefly spoke of social things, but it also branches out to things like education. I kind of like the word perpetuity, because you never know who really means it when they say it. For years and years, at least up here, and when I was going to school, we went under a BIA system. Now, I'm not sure if that system was supposed to be provided to American Indians and Alaska Natives for perpetuity because of the lands and everything else that had been taken away, and that was part of the price paid. But since 1971, we see the responsibility of education turned over to the state, especially as we see it up here. I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but I'm just saying, and actually I think it's a good thing, but what I'm saying is the responsibilities are moved to somebody else. In terms of health, another one of those things that I feel is a price you pay for taking all that land. I hear so many people complain about natives getting free health. It's very little, especially when you consider the level of health care that we receive. We have to appreciate the efforts that the people that are up here trying to provide those cares. But the level of professionalism that is seen in more urban centers is definitely not seen here. In terms of land and our corporation and sovereignty, I just like to say this: as the issue of land and sovereignty and regional corporations and village corporations continues to come up, especially as it pertains to land and sovereignty, while we debate these things and work out the differences, we've got to be very, very careful not to confuse those who will be taking over after our time is up, because we wouldn't want them, I don't think, to have to choose what kind of native they should be, whether it's a corporate native, an IRA native, but that the important thing is that we are natives, and that together we'll have our fights, and those are healthy. I think we have to have them. But the bottom line being that we really try to work together for the future of our children. And it's the examples that we set today that is really going to determine how things, I think, will be run in the future. And I have concern for my children. I have three who are quote-unquote new natives. And it's going to be difficult to watch them be left out of some of the benefits that we get from ANGSCA and through the efforts, the hard efforts of our corporation, and yet still expect these people that are left out to try and carry on the ball when right now legally they have no part of it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Jewell. Mm-hmm.